The light of God is shining again, dispelling the darkness in the hearts of men, turning their night season into their morning, converting their wilderness places into blossoming gardens, and their arid lawns into gushing brooks of living waters. This is the day of the manifestation of the sons of the living God. And for this cause, the Lord is pouring out His mighty Spirit upon all flesh, causing them to see dreams and visions, and give them a crystal clear understanding of the mystery of the ages, which is the Christ in you. This recording is a message from Trevor Igaga, an anointed servant of God, called to preach the sacred mystery of Christ and to unveil His glorious realm of unconditional love and bliss before all men. As you embrace this message from on high, receive hundredfold restoration of everything that the caterpillar and the canker worm have devoured in your precious life. Let your health speed forth speedily, and the joy of your salvation overflow like great torrents of water. For more free messages, do visit our website at www.sunrayministry.org or contact us on info@sunrayministry.org. May the God of peace and love keep you.
The Mayan people were deeply religious people. Religious in the sense that they all sought to get to God the very same way the religions of this world today try to get to God. We know what happened to the end of that civilization. They were massacred, exterminated by Christians who looked at them as infidels, idol worshippers. But Christians don't know themselves that they themselves are also idol worshippers. We're talking of the Christian man, the natural Christian man who professes that he knows Jesus, he knows something about salvation. See, the Christian man on the earth is no different from any other religious sect upon the earth. Because in reality, they simply walk in shadows the same way the Mayans walked. Praise God. From eternity, there is no such thing as Christianity, there is no such thing as Islam, there is no such thing as Buddha, there is no such thing as Maya. All these are tribes that have been formulated by men, tribes upon the earth. Praise God. But we know the end of all things is that these tribes and nations upon the earth, with their various beliefs, religious beliefs, various ideologies, will all become the kingdoms and the nations of our Lord. Praise God. They will all flow back into that one body, which is the body of the Lord. And in the Lord, there is no knowledge. There is no concept, there is just life and life and life and life abundantly. Praise God. Now we've heard of the end of the world. Isn't it? The end of the world. The 21st of December 2012. And like I've always said, if you've read some of the write-ups we've had, there's no such thing as the end of this physical world, this natural world that we live in. There's no such thing as the end of or rather the physical end of humanity. Of course, the Mayan people had their own calendars, they had their own, you know, concepts, which in reality ought to have been interpreted spiritually. See, bear in mind that the things of God are to be interpreted spiritually. See, when we look at prophecy, the things concerning prophecy, the prophecy of Daniel, which Jesus Christ referred to, when we look at the prophecies of Matthew chapter 24, the sayings of Jesus, these are events that are discerned spiritually, not naturally, not in time and in space. So God is beyond time and space. So where men make the mistake is that they try to pin these prophecies or pin what they have perceived in the spirit to the natural world, to the things that are natural, to time and to space, but it doesn't work that way. Praise God. If you have the eyes of the spirit, you will see that the Mayan people were all speaking about an ascension back into the higher life, that perfect life that is God. Just look at the structures of the Mayan civilization. Look at their pyramids. Just look at their, you know, their structures and study them. You will discover that they are all pointers to that same Mount Zion, to that same ascension into God's world. Praise God. The Bible, which has been a tool we have used again and again, a valid tool, of course valid when we allow the breath of God quicken the letters in that book, it becomes life. The Bible often speaks about a Mount Zion, where the city of the Lord is situated. Mount Zion, where the King dwells. Mount Zion, where God has commanded the blessing. So we see allegories of Mount Zion in Noah's Ark, because Noah's Ark was stuck upon Mount Zion. We see allegories of Zion in the story of Lot. Lot, you know, left his city and was told to go up into a high mountain. We see allegories of Zion as Jesus Christ ascended the mountain and transfigured before his disciples. Praise God. We see the high mountain in the last chapters of the book of Revelation. John saw a very high mountain, and he saw a city descending upon that mountain. He also saw this high mountain called Mount Zion, with the redeemed of God standing upon it, having the Father's name written upon their foreheads. All these things have got significance. They are, you know, pointers to a higher place of elevation. They are pointers to a dimension in the spirit, not a physical mountain in the sky. Praise God. So you can see that the Mayan, you know, priests and the diviners and the people who constructed those pyramids and those structures were actually looking at, you know, an ascension into God. Now nobody knows whether they understood these things. See, probably they felt that, you know, if they could climb up that, you know, those pyramids to the very peak. You see, normally you had a door on one of those important pyramids at the very peak where the high priest will enter. And today we know there's a door into the spirit, a door which is Christ today, a door into God's infinite kingdom. See, when you look at the structure of a pyramid, as it goes up, 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 it comes to the pinnacle where there is one point. It talks about a gathering in one. Hallelujah. So there are many wonderful things in this Mayan civilization that actually point to Christ, to God's kingdom. But who knows, maybe they never understood. But today, by the light of the Spirit, we see these things and we understand what they meant. Praise God. The world will not end on the 21st of December 2012. Of course, there will be an end of the world. Of course, the world will end, but the world, the end of this world has got nothing to do with this physical structure called the world. It has got nothing to do with the annihilation of human life upon the earth. That has got nothing to do with the end of the world. The end of the world is end of consciousness. End of a consciousness. End of a consciousness we have walked in ignorance. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ made it clear that I am not of this world. I am not of this world. Now, Christ today is not a man like we know. Christ speaks about a personality that inhabits eternity. A personality that has been even before, you know, the Mayan civilization, even before, you know, any element that we see in this natural world came to be. There has been a spirit that has been from the beginning. Praise God. And of course, the beginning is not something, we're not talking of 2,000 years ago or 7,000 years ago. We're not talking like the beginning of God has got nothing to do with time and space. Praise God. When we talk about beginning, we're talking about something in truth, in God. Jesus Christ says, I am not of this world. Praise God. And we who are united with this life of Christ are not of this world. See, the moment you identify yourself with Christ, you have come to the end of the world. Praise God. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, you know, when speaking about the journeying of the Israelites, from Egypt to the Promised Land, Paul said that those were examples for we upon whom the ends of the world has come. For we upon whom the ends of the world have come. The ends of the world has come upon we who are gathered into Christ as we hear the voice of truth in these days. See, it is the end of the deception. It is the end of all lies as we hear the trumpet. What you are hearing today is the trumpet. It's the trumpet of the Spirit bringing an awakening in you. Awake thou that sleepest in immortality. You that sleep in material consciousness. You that sleep in the ignorance of, you know, of a sense of being apart from God. In the transgression of Adam, we all became like Gentiles. Christians are actually the nations of the world. So they are the nations of the world. These are the Gentiles. Those who do not know truth. Those who are not, you know, consciously partaking of the commonwealth of Christ. That is, they are not partaking of the life of Christ. Let us read quickly from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, from verse 17. This I say, brethren, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Are you listening? The Gentiles are alienated, separated from the divine life of God, which is actually that life that Christ demonstrated to this world. Christ demonstrated a life that is that of God, a life that has unhindered access to everything that is God, a life that never dies, a life that was not born. Hallelujah. A life that does not change. A life of joy, of peace, that is not affected by the parameters of change that this world that we live in has to offer. Jesus Christ demonstrated that life that is in the bosom of the Father. He brought that life to light in this world so that people could see it. See, that life is the life that we all became alienated from in our minds. We are cut off, so to say, from that life that is in God. That life of the only begotten of God. See, why? Because our understanding was darkened. See, the deception has been in our minds. A veil was placed over our minds and over our understanding so that we became, you know, alienated from that life of God. And in so doing, we have formed imaginary entities upon the earth, and we have become Gentiles and nations of the earth when we walked in the ignorance of Adam. Praise God. Hallelujah. How did the mind become darkened? How did the eyes of understanding of the men of this age become darkened? Is it because they started to be fed with the lie? They started to receive of the knowledge of good and evil. They started to be fed with, you know, the wisdom of the devil, of the serpent. They started to be fed with fables, doctrines, beliefs that all emanate from the dust below. These are the beliefs of men. Jesus Christ says, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. Beware of the yeast. Several times he says, beware of men. See, men. See, it is the wisdom of man that actually hides the key of God's kingdom from men. It's the wisdom of man that deceives man into thinking that is separate from the life of God. Hallelujah. Like Adam, we have all, you know, eating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when you eat of that tree, you die. starts dying, you will die. It's a continuous death from deception to deception, from lie to lie. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now today we have this one comes here and says, I am a Jew. The other one says, I'm Arab. This one says, I'm Christian. This one says, I'm Muslim. This one says, I'm Mayan. This one says, I do it this way. This one says, I do it that way. This one says, I preach this way. This one says, I preach that way. This one says, this is the way. And there's conflict. See, there's wars upon the earth. Everybody's seeking to have a portion of the earth, a portion of time and space unto his name, his illusory, you know, imaginary name. Everybody, there's conflict upon the earth. There's wars. See, there are murders. There are hates. Jesus Christ called these rumors of wars and all of that. Why? Because men have their eyes of understanding darkened. They live in the lie, not understanding that they are all partakers of that one life of God. Hallelujah. The light of the world has come shining. The light is here to destroy that veil. Hallelujah. To destroy it forever so that we can have unhindered access back into that one life that is of God. Praise God. Jesus Christ says, you know, he was here to give eternal life. That is the life of God. Praise God. So the world has got to do with, you know, alienation from the life of God. The world has got to do with ignorance. See, it is a state of deadness when you see yourself outside of the only life that there is. Praise God. The nation shall perish, they shall wax old, they shall be changed. See, but the Lord lives on eternally. And that is the life that we are all called to partake of in this day. But you cannot be of this world and partake of the life of God. That's why it says, love not this world, nor the things that are in this world. If anyone loves this world, the love of God is not in it. Now, is it saying that the world is bad? Is it saying that the creation of God is bad? Of course not. Because the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. Everything that we see in this physical, natural dimension belongs to the world. See, but the world in this sense is the consciousness. Praise God. The consciousness. We are called to walk in a new consciousness. Oh, hallelujah. And that is the consciousness of the Son of God. Praise God. We are called to walk once more as eternal beings, spiritual beings, recognizing the truth from our, you know, from the foundation of the world will cause us to escape the corruption and the wasting that is in this world. See, that's where the worms, the caterpillar, misery and everything you think of, you see in this world. In this world, you will have tribulation. But in me, you will have peace. See it? The world is material consciousness. It's carnality. It is the consciousness of dust that we all put on in the transgression. Dust you are, and dust you return. Now, dust you are, dust return. That, you know, explains the state of man in his transgression. Because in reality, you are not dust. Praise God. In reality, you are not dust. In reality, you are of that same substance that God is. And, you know, God is not dust. it. That word came to Adam in his transgression. When Adam, you know, started to partake of the lie of the devil, of course, the lie of the devil is the deception that causes man to be conformed to this world, conformed to time and space, see, conformed to immaterial dimensions, conformed to a world where people live by appearances, where you judge outwardly, judge by color, judge by religion, judge by, you know, different outward expressions, which is all false. Praise God. And in the transgression, Adam became the world. In the world, you have tribulation. That's why you see Adam, he says that, you know, thorns and thistles will you reap. The woman shall, you know, bring forth in sorrow. It's tribulation. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the world in outer darkness. Without God, without Father. See, not able to discern the ever, you know, present love of God because of the blindness that is in their hearts. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So, we have the end of the world has got to do with the end of that consciousness that we are born. You know, that we have been inducted into. It has got nothing to do with the end of the physical world that we've seen. There will be many, many more alarms in the future. New sects will come in the future. New people will come with new concepts of the end of the world. New men of God, so-called men of God, will arise with new prophecies. And these things are not new. They've always been there. See, but be reminded today that it's not by killing your body that you can find God's kingdom or the world ends. The world is your consciousness, it's your mind. See, hallelujah. Jesus Christ says the world has not known you, Father. The world has not known you. But I have known you. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ adds that this is eternal life. That they may know you, the true God. And that they may know Jesus whom thou hast sent. That is the eternal life. Don't you like it? That, you know, they may know you, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Of course, he's not talking about Jesus Christ, a historical Jesus Christ. See, because Jesus Christ represents the Son. Do you know that you are the Son of God? Do you know that the way he is the way you are? Do you know that even as he is not of this world, you are not of this world? You might think you are in this world. In your dream state, in your, you know, state of sleep, you might think that you are of this world. You might think that you have, you know, a physical existence that you might want to keep and preserve unto eternity. You might think that you have a name or some kind of interest upon the earth to preserve. But you can only think in that way when you are asleep. When you are awake, you will know like Jesus that I am not of this world. When you are awake, you will know that I and the Father are one. See, you cannot know the Father, the true God and eternal life, if you do not know the Son. It's impossible. Nobody knows the Father except the Son. And nobody knows the Son except the Father. So you can't know God except you rediscover yourself. See, the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can only partake of that life. If you think that you're going to see God someday in the sky and shake him, there's no such thing. You can experience God. you can experience what it means to say I. And it comes with an awakening. Praise God. The nations of the earth represent the world. Those who are living in the vanity of their mind, alienated from that one life of God. There are no two gods, there are no two lives, there is just one life. And we are all called to inherit that eternal life. He has come to give us an understanding that we are in Him. That is true. Amen. He has come to give us an understanding that we are in Him, that is true, and this is the true God and eternal life. Praise God. When you rediscover the Christ, your true self, Him that is true, is the Christ in you. When you discover the Christ in you, you will discover the true God and eternal life, because that is the life of God actually made manifest. Hallelujah. So the world true eternal life is to know the God and to know the Christ creature that is in you. Praise God. We have teachings today. All these teachings that we hear today, it's not about forming religion. It's not about building a big structure on the earth. It's not about, you know, having big congregations of thousands. See, you will discover that some of these big congregations, you can walk in there, not one person has an idea of what true salvation is. Just walk in shadows in relation to things that are not. Praise God. Thank God we are called to partake of the life of the Father. Eternal life. This is the promise. Eternal life. These teachings we are hearing today have one scope, that is to baptize us back into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ gave this charge to disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Who are these nations? The nations are the inhabitants of the earth who are alienated from the life of God, separated from God in their lives, in their minds. See, the separation can only be in the mind. See, it can only be in the mind. Because God is never separate from man. Man has always been in God, and God will always be in man. They are always one and inseparable. Praise God. So you see, when you attack the other brother out there, you better watch it. You might just be attacking God. When you stab the other brother out there, you might be doing that to God. So you just watch it. See, hallelujah. Let your eyes be shining. Let your eyes see and understand what you are doing. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. See, Jesus Christ says, teach all the nations. I'm baptizing them into the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. They are not three things. You don't have the Father here. You don't have the Son here. You don't have the Holy Ghost here. It's one thing. So the Holy Ghost just is the body of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we are all being baptized back into that name consciously. See, in the deception, we are cast out, alienated from that life. So we all have all put on all kind of names. We've all, you know, names. And these names that we have borne are actually names, the names of the beast. This one says it's black. This one says it's white. This one says it's this. This one says that. This one says it's Christian. This one says it's Muslim. This one says it's Buddha. All these are the tribes upon the earth. See, these are the names of Babylon that have to be destroyed so that we can lay hold once more on that true life that is of God. Sit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these nations that are of the world, sit. When you are back into that consciousness, into that truth, The world has ended. You have come to the end of the world. The world means ignorance of God. Ignorance of the secret of Christ. That is the world. See, it is the blindness that's got to do with the blindness in the eyes of men. So that they are ignorant of the life of Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ spoke about the end of the world in Matthew chapter 24. Praise God. We've seen many books around, many versions of what this end of the world might be. Some people look at it as events that are past, and some people look at it as events that will come. See, but let me tell you, these things are being fulfilled in you today as you follow the leading of the Lamb. Praise God. Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples here because in reality the end of the world comes to the disciples, not to the world. See, once you are gathered unto Christ, a disciple, gathered unto that name, those who have left all for my sake and have followed me in the regeneration shall inherit a hundredfold in the worlds to come, praise God, and eternal life with persecutions. Now, so you can see that the end of the world has got to do with the disciples. It has got to do with those who are being gathered unto God. It's the end of ignorance, end of material consciousness, end of the deception. It's the end of death. That is the world. The world is a graveyard. See, and when you begin to awake from the dead, when you hear the voice of truth, what is actually happening is that, you know, the world ends. See, it is the end of that consciousness, that lie that you have lived in. It has got nothing to do with a physical change in this outer world. Praise God. You can be in this world and you are not of this world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus Christ spoke many things which you can just read. We can just go briefly and just talk on some of them in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus Christ spoke here about Matthew 24 verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Praise God. Now he's speaking about continuity, because you know when you get this revelation of Christ, actually what happens is that you are called to oneness, isn't it? You are called to, you know, all being partakers of that one name. And we know of the conflicts that we have in this world, even conflicts among brethren. Various beliefs creeping and people become, you know, arguments coming. Many things happen along the line, even for those who have heard the message. See, I know of many who heard the message years ago, and today they are nowhere to be found. Why? Because the pressures of life choked the word that was in them. See, but Jesus Christ says that those that, you know, keep themselves unto the end, keep themselves pure in the love of God, keep themselves in this doctrine unto the end, shall partake of this great salvation of the Lord. See, he says in verse 14, hallelujah, the gospel shall be preached to all nations. Hallelujah. I'm going to start from Matthew chapter 24 verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations, and then shall the end come. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let him that be in Judah flee to the mountains, and let him which be in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his cloth. Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stop here. I just want to mention something about the abomination that Jesus Christ spoke about. It says, when you see the abomination standing in the holy place, the abomination spoken of by Daniel, praise God, flee to the high mountain. Of course, these are not physical prophecies. These are spiritual prophecies. It's not talking about some kind of mountain in Israel. It's not talking about an historical account of when Israel was invaded. All these are spiritual, words of Christ, the Spirit. See it. When you see the abomination standing in the holy place, when you see the man of sin, don't you know that you are the temple of God? Don't you know that you are the habitation of the living God? Don't you know that you are the holy sanctuary of God? You are the tabernacle of God. Don't you know that you are not yours, but the Lord's? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. So he's saying here that when you see this abomination, when you can discern it, when you get this revelation of the man of sin that has been usurping the place of God in this holy temple. I am the temple of God. I am the eternal habitation of God. But somehow before now, a creature of the dust, a beast, a man of sin, has inhabited this temple. I'm beginning to get a revelation as the trumpet sounds that actually this is the Lord's temple. This Lord's temple that has become a house of merchandise, a house of iniquity. This is the Lord's temple. So we have to by the word of the Spirit, drive out all the money changers, drive out anything in this house that does not glorify the Lord. Flee to the high mountain. See it. When you see this abomination, flee to the high mountain. Now the high mountain talks about this same elevated height of Zion. It's talking about ascend in spirituality. See, all the Spirit wants to do is to make you become spiritual. Once more, when you are spiritually minded, that is the mind of Christ. When you are spiritually minded, then God appears. But when you are carnally minded, a devil appears. A devil with the imprints of the beast. Now the beast is the serpent. Praise God. But when you flee to the high mountain, which is actually an ascent, an awakening, the man of sin that has usurped the place of God in the temple, in the holy place, is no more. Praise God. So you are seeing the truth today, and as you hear the truth, flee to the high mountains. The gospel has been preached. There is no other gospel you hear apart from what you are hearing today. The glad tidings from heaven is that you can be partakers of the beautiful life of God. Awake thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you light. That is the good news. It is now, as you hear it, flee to the high mountains. Flee to the high elevated place. Leave the life upon the earth. Hallelujah. Ascend on the wings of the eagle. That is why Jesus Christ says in an account that where the eagles are, there will the body be. The eagles are gathered normally on the highest peaks, mountain peaks. It's high consciousness, elevated consciousness. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Flee to the high mountain. Flee back to Zion, the place of the blessing, the place of the Son of God. Follow Jesus up. And when you flee up there, there is a transfiguration. There is a change. Hallelujah. There is a man of light that you truly are. Exactly as the transfigured Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 30. Because of time, I can't read everything. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Praise God. So we can see what the Lord is doing today. Actually, all this has got to do with the end of the world, because the sign of the Son of Man is already appearing in the sky, and what God is doing is that he's sending his messengers with the sound of the trumpet, which is the message. The trumpet is actually the divine gospel, the message of the kingdom, bringing awakening to those who are in the depths of hell, those who have made their bed in hell. See, we all made our bed in hell in Adam. See, we all made our bed, in the dust, in corruptibility, in darkness, in this world. But the light is shining today, and there is an awakening back into Christ consciousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, he says that they shall gather the elect, from the four winds of the earth, from one end of heaven to the other end. Speaking here about from the depths, from the abyss, he's guiding us from the abyss back into God's kingdom. See it in heavenly places upon Mount Zion. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Praise God. Hallelujah. See, the end of the world has got nothing to do with physical events. It's all about an ascension in consciousness. Praise God. It is an awakening back into the life of the Son of God. If we are ignorant of the life of the Son of God, who is eternal, who is unchangeable, who is incorruptible, we are the world. That is the world. Ignorance of the Son is the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Like Adam in the transgression, we all forgot that we are that. We are Lucifer. We are that bearers of light. We are that bearer of the glory of God. See it. Like Adam, we forgot that we are that same image of the transfigured Christ. We are that same brilliant image of the Alpha and the Omega. We are spiritual beings, light beings. See, when Jesus transfigured, what the disciples were seeing was a light creature, a light being. Something different from the Jesus they had known. And our calling today is to awake back into that life. That is our life. That is our true selves. Let's not deceive ourselves into thinking that we are creatures of time and space. Let us not deceive ourselves any further into thinking that we are of the earth. Sweet, but let our heart be where the King seated enthroned forever. Let your treasures be in heaven. The end of the world is end of consciousness. End of that consciousness that says, I am terrestrial. That says, I am a human being born of a woman. It's the end of the consciousness to a three-dimensional plane. It is the end of a consciousness that says that I have a physical body. I am a physical body. It's the awakening of it, you know, it's awakening back into that consciousness that never dies. That consciousness that is invisible. Praise God. That consciousness that is not tied to time and space. Hallelujah. Upon we whom, you know, the end of the world has come. See, Christ did not come to preach morality. He did not come to preach, you know, religion, procedures of men. Rather, he came to bring an awakening. And when you are awake, the world ends. When you are awake, you find yourself on top of the high pyramid, Mount Zion. This is what the Mayan structures were pointing to. See, the Mayan calendars all point to, you know, entrance of a new consciousness of light. See it. God consciousness, so to say. Divine consciousness, so to say. Praise God, it has got nothing to do with the outer. See it. Neither is it something that is noticeable by men without. See it. It is something that happens within you as you hear the voice of truth and reason in this hour. Brethren, let us grow in love. Hallelujah. Let us grow in patience. Let us grow in understanding. Let us grow in tolerance of one another. Hallelujah. Leaving the unfruitful works of darkness and laying a hold on that life that has been made manifest to us today through the gospel. May the God of peace and love keep you. Amen.
Spirit. just men. Of creation.